closeout bedding up to half off. The Labor Day sale is going on now at Everett's Furniture in South Sioux City. Open Labor Day noon to 4.
Survival of the fittest. And besides, it's fun.
Outdoors with John is on the air. This is the Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Good morning, everybody. The show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Iowa, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, The Shooting Shop in Anthon, Iowa, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Pearl Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stan's Bait Shop in Milford, and also Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. Well, later on, we're going to have No Stone Unturned episode today, and we're going to be talking about sea kayaking, which I guess is a little bit different than normal kayaking. Not sure how, but we'll find out. And a reminder, call in and take part in the show. Tell us a story, and we'll get you entered for the Rough Rider Heritage Revolver giveaway that we're going to have in December. And we, you know, it seems like December is a long ways off, but really on a weekly show, that's not that many episodes left where you get a chance to get in and get entered into that. Speaking of kayaking, I'm going to throw out the trivia question early here. The Aleut and Inuit tribes of the Arctic are credited with developing the first kayaks over 4,000 years ago. What were they constructed from? Seal skins and whale bones? Light driftwood? Or fiberglass? And up for grabs today, we've got the highly coveted 1 ounce solid copper Second Amendment coin and a piece of alligator jerky. And the jerky will be gone at the end of the month, Scott. We're going to have to move on to something else. I don't know. If I don't get to the grocery store, the jerky will be gone quicker. But anyway, the early kayaks were constructed of seal skin and whale bones, light driftwood, or fiberglass. And the number there is 239-2101. And also, if you want to stick on the line and share something with us on the show, there again, that same number. And when you call in, just let it ring and ring and ring, and eventually Scott will get to you. Let's see, the fishing report. Things are kind of slow. The walleye are picking up a little bit. Clear Lake, they're catching the walleyes on a jig and a minnow near the vegetation edges. They're catching some catfish there on Clear Lake. They're drifting with cut bait in the evenings and picking up the catfish. And they're catching quite a few yellow bass there at Clear Lake in 9 to 10 feet of water. And the early morning bite is the best. Silver Lake in Palo Alto County here in Iowa, they're catching a lot of jumbo-sized bullheads still, and bank fishing with just nightcrawler on the bottom. The only real trick to bullhead fishing really is to set the hook before they swallow it. The catfishing on Five Island Lake, also in Palo Alto County, has been real good. They've been catching quite a few larger catfish there, and they're also catching a few walleyes there on Five Island. Trumbull Lake in Clay County, the northern pike fishing has been really good casting spoons. And what the anglers there are doing are finding the calm areas of the lake and casting those spoons, or they're fishing below the spillway of the lake and picking up quite a few pike there. The walleye fishing on Lost Island Lake has been pretty good there. They're reporting a lot of 14 to 18 inch fish are being caught, which if you want a limit of nice eater size walleyes, Lost Island Lake there in Palo Alto County is your best bet right now. At the Iowa Great Lakes, the big bluegills are reported that they've moved into the deeper rock piles. So if you can find those rock piles with some aquatic plants in and around them in 20 to 25 feet of water, you're going to catch those big bluegills there. East Okoboji, they're trolling crankbaits after dark has been their best bet there. And the pike fishing has been real good on the north end of East Okoboji Lake, casting spinning baits. Spirit Lake, the walleyes are biting on crawlers and bottom bouncers, or they're also trolling crankbaits there on Big Spirit. And they're catching a lot of 8.5-inch perch on Big Spirit right now. They're using yellow and white mini jigs tipped with wigglers and fishing just outside the weed beds with that. And I guess if you're heading up to the Iowa Great Lakes and you're kind of wondering what spinners are working the best, I don't know, the best thing to do is just stop at Stan's Bait there in Milford, Iowa on the way by. And he's got that vending machine out there. It's available 24/7. And he puts the hottest baits in that vending machine. So if they're catching the pike on a normal red and white daredevil, that's what Stan will have in that thing. And as the bite changes, then he'll change those lures. So it's kind of neat. You can stop in and see Stan. Anyway, we probably got an answer on that one. That one seemed pretty.
Yeah. Seth Schwier of Sioux City correctly guessed light driftwood.
Did anybody guess fiberglass?
No.
Okay. Well, that one seemed obviously an obvious no. But I don't know. It seemed kind of weird to me that they would use trees. There's no trees up there in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I know. Maybe 4,000 years ago there were trees, and that's why they're not trees now. It's because they used them all to make kayaks to go out and thump a whale.
Yeah, but how do you make a kayak out of driftwood that is watertight? That's what I can't figure out.
Well, I've seen that. Yeah. Well, they used to use animal whale fat and seal bladders to make the vessels waterproof and provide them with the necessary amount of buoyancy.
Ah, okay.
So, hey, you suppose like the little Eskimo children, when they go to the pool, use like seal bladders for their floaties? I bet they did.
Baby seal bladders, maybe?
Obviously, after
clubbing them to death?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's where they'd get the seal skins, obviously.
Ah.
And it makes sense. I mean, you'd find this wood and you tie it together with a frame, walk out on the ice and thump yourself a couple baby seals and stretch their skins over it. And then you could go out and whack yourself a whale and then make a really fancy kayak then out of the whalebone.
Hmm.
But whales don't seem to beach themselves there in the Arctic like they do in the southern states.
Yeah.
You never hear about it, do you?
No, you never do.
Well, maybe because like when they beach themselves like in Florida or someplace like that and all the yuppies are like, oh, look at the dead whale. And up north, it's like, hey, look at that, free food. And everybody, they go and just butcher the thing and it's done with.
Yeah, I would think a beached whale probably keeps a little longer up north.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
Remember that was, how many years ago was that? Was that in Florida where they used the dynamite to blow up that beached whale?
That was out in California.
It was
in Malibu where the thing beached itself, and everybody was up in arms about it because the thing's starting to smell, right?
Well, yeah, I would imagine it would smell pretty good.
Yeah, and so they got the bright idea to blow it up with like 100 pounds of dynamite, which scattered pound-sized chunks of blubber for like miles.
I don't know. Is there really a guideline on how much dynamite to use to blow up a beached whale, though?
There is now.
Well, they know now how much is too much.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there such thing as too much? Well, it obviously is if there's chunks of rotting whale hitting a mile away.
Of course, the other risk with beached whales is after a while they explode on their own.
Yeah, and maybe that was the reason why they were going to blow it up to keep that from happening anyway. But
yeah, it could be.
But I don't know. Well, I mean, all you got to do over there is, you know, to keep them from blowing up, I mean, you just got to cut a couple holes in them so they don't bloat.
Yeah, except I don't want to be the guy that has to do it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
They'd probably have to fly in some Inuit guy from Alaska and let him cut the proper holes in it.
Harpoon him, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it could be. Hey, we should probably just go ahead and take the break early. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Michelle Devlin with No Stone Unturned about sea kayaking.
All right, back in a minute. 1360 94.9 KSCJ.
We are the dreamers and the doers. We challenge what could be and what should be. At Children's Hospital and Medical Center, we're improving the lives of children and improving the future of medicine, leading with science and heart. That's why U.S. News & World Report names Children's as one of the best children's hospitals in the country, a national pediatric leader in cardiology and heart surgery, diabetes and endocrine disorders, gastroenterology and GI surgery, pulmonology and orthopedics. Nationally recognized, providing the highest quality pediatric specialty care and expertise in the region. Committed to research, education, and advocacy for every child. To find a physician for your child, call 1-800-833-3100 or visit childrensomaha.org. When children are your everything, anything can be.
Treat yourself to a new career at Interbake Foods. Interbake Foods, one of the nation's oldest and largest cookie producers, currently has openings for warehouse overnight shift with a new starting rate of $17.01 per hour. Maintenance, mechanic, and machine operators on third shift. To apply, visit westonfoods.com. That's westonfoods.com.
Attend Interbake Foods' upcoming job fair this Wednesday from 1 to 4 p.m.
at One Devil's Food Drive in North Sioux City, South Dakota. Interbake Foods offers a generous benefits package including 401k, vision insurance, dental insurance, health insurance, life insurance, along with paid vacations and holidays.
Attend Interbake Foods' upcoming job fair this Wednesday from 1 to 4 p.m.
at One Devil's Food Drive in North Sioux City, South Dakota.
Hosts offer drug screening, background check, and physical capacity profile required. Interbake Foods participates in the E-Verify program. MF Disabled and Vet EEOAA Employer.
Big John. Big John.
Well, one other note here. Tonight's special down at the Fireside Steakhouse and Lounge in Anthony, Iowa, is the Prime Rib Sandwich. And that's the home of the 30-ounce prime rib. You still haven't gone down there and tried to eat one of them, have you, Scott?
No, I couldn't handle 30 ounces of prime rib.
I bet you'd pop like
last me a whole week.
You'd pop like that beached whale if you ate it all, I think.
Yeah.
But Skyline Lodge in Pearl Falls, Ontario, also has openings right now for the grouse season coming up. And that runs from September 15th to October 31st there in Ontario. And the coolest thing about that is... It's only $450 per week per person to stay at Skyline, and he puts you on the grouse. And you can also get a boat with your cabin, so you can go out and whack some grouse in the morning and catch some fish in the afternoon. I don't know. That is a great place up there. But you can give Jeremy a call at 1-807-220-2520. Leave him a message, and he'll get right back to you. And we got Michelle on the line. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. Well, that sounded actually really fun being up there in Ontario. I'm pretty close to there right now. I'm actually coming to you from near the Canadian border in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan by Pictured Rocks National Seashore on the kind of southeastern end of Lake Superior, so not too far away from Ontario up there. Really beautiful area.
Going up there for the Memorial Day weekend or Labor Day weekend?
Yes, for Labor Day weekend, and going to see kayaking here, actually, in Lake Superior. Yes, and Pictured Rocks is a really beautiful area to go see kayaking.
Okay, and, you know, everybody's kind of familiar with the kayak. I mean, like for me, they're them troublesome little boats that I have a hard time getting in and out of. Well, getting out of them's easy. You just get out in the middle of the pond and boom, I'm out. But, you know, but what's difference? What's the difference between like the sea kayaking?
Sure. Yeah. I kind of spent the summer getting into sea kayaking. I like you, I've also, you know, done the other kinds of kayaking and used those smaller boats that you see readily available in a lot of different places in Iowa. But I did quite a bit of sea kayaking this summer up in Lake Superior, as well as in Southern California in the Channel Islands National Park. And they're really interesting boats. So, again, I think a lot of us have seen the smaller kayaks that are common in Iowa and used on small lakes and rivers and things like that. But sea kayaks are larger. They can range anywhere from, you know, 10 feet up to maybe 18 feet in length. They're longer. They're sturdier boats, and they're actually made for longer adventures, you know, where you can go out into open water, large bodies of water, open water, like the Great Lakes or, you know, obviously oceans and, you know, seas, and thus the name. But you can carry more gear in them. You can carry more equipment. And they're designed for, again, longer expeditions in rougher water, open water, and, you know, you just go for a much longer time. So they're very, very fun to use, and especially if you're going to be doing more than kayaking for just an hour or so, or kind of, you know, floating around or paddling around in a small lake.
Well, sure, absolutely. Are they designed different, or, I mean, the way you sit in them? I mean, some of the smaller kayaks, they have them where you actually sit down in them. Some of them you're meant to be on your knees.
Sure. Yeah, there are. I've seen them in different ways. Some of them, absolutely, you do sit into, you know, very similar to what you might have seen in Iowa with smaller kayaks. But there are others where you actually sit on top of them. And I've now been able to use both. I spent part of the summer out in the Santa Barbara area, California. And, of course, you've got the beautiful Channel Islands National Park there with these massive sea caves. And so out there, you can actually go spelunking or caving on sea kayaks. So you combine your adventure sports, and it's very fun. And we were sitting on top of these kayaks, again, longer, sturdier boats, but they did very well with the waves as you go through waves to get into, you know, smoother water and then in and out of caves where you're working not just on the boat, but you also have current and then you have swells and wave action going in and out of these caves. And so, it really combined lots of different adventures and was pretty exciting and exhilarating. But we were, you know, we were on top of these, and it works pretty well in terms of, you know, just going through rougher water and trying to deal with currents and swells.
I tell you, that to me kind of sounds like an episode of I Shouldn't Be Alive just waiting to happen there. I mean, if you're not comfortable with what you're doing, I mean, that seems like a really good way to get hurt, taking a kayak in through flooded caves.
Yeah. It was actually really, really interesting. It was a little more involved than what I thought, I'll admit. I didn't realize I was getting involved exactly in that on this tour. But we did have a guide, and they made it very safe for us. And they really, and that's the advantage of, if you want to do sea kayaking, a lot of times you can go with tours. You can go with groups of people. You don't need to buy these boats. They can be expensive. They can run thousands of dollars. And if you're not going to be doing it every day and you're not living next to a large body of water where you're going to use it every day, probably the best thing to do would be to go on a guided tour, you know, with an expedition group or an outfitter organization, and you've got the guide there that can teach you the techniques. And even for something like sea kayaking combined with spelunking in caves, they can guide you through that about how to maneuver the boat, you know, which way to lean up and down or right or left, you know, depending on currents that may be coming in. And again, at the national park, and they actually made it very doable for raw beginners like me on a sea kayak. I've done other kinds of kayaking, but never been on a sea kayak before, and it was a lot of fun.
A little bit different skill set to paddle the larger kayaks then?
It helped, you know, it's similar in technique. I found the biggest challenges for me doing sea kayaking is, you know, being in Iowa for 25 years, I'm not, obviously not used to waves and not used to strong currents in bodies of water. Rivers, yes, obviously, but not on a lake. And so when you're doing sea kayaking, you're out on Lake Superior or any of, you know, Lake Michigan or any of the Great Lakes here in the upper Midwest, and or in oceans, you know, suddenly current and waves become really massive factors that you've got to be aware of at all times. And, you know, sometimes we were kayaking with the waves and with the current, and things are very fast. But when you would have to go back against waves, there were times when in the tour, the guide would put like cables and connect the kayaks all together and pull them almost like a little train so that we were combining our strengths in paddling and helping each other paddle and get over a particularly rough area. So it was a fascinating technique to see that I'd never, witnessed before.
Well, yeah. It kind of makes sense. I mean, and it doesn't matter how good you get at any particular type of an activity. There's no substitute for seeking knowledge from those that are more experienced, like, you know, an outfitter or whatever. I mean, you can do a do-it-yourself trip easy enough on these, like, for instance, the Great Lakes up there. But you really should have the old float plan in place, shouldn't you? So,
absolutely. And again, I'm up here in Lake Superior right now. It is the world's largest freshwater ocean, essentially. You can think of it like that. It's basically a freshwater ocean. And as you know, I spend a fair amount of time being a wilderness medic in the summers up at Isle Royale National Park in Lake Superior. You're on an ocean. And it's those are very popular parks for people to come in and to do sea kayaking around. But those lakes act as oceans, and currents and weather patterns can change almost without notice. And if you don't know what you're doing on those boats and you're out there, they can be, you know, you've really got to watch yourself with safety. So again, there's so many groups that will take you out there. You don't have to buy the equipment. They'll help you prepare with all the gear. You've got a guide that can assist you through currents and waves and bad weather and swells and things that may come up, and really help you enjoy the experience rather than, you know, become a victim to accidents or losing equipment or falling in or any of these kinds of things that can happen.
And I suppose before you plan a trip like that, you want to make sure that you get yourself into a little bit of better physical condition than most of us are right now.
Yeah, I think the difference, what I found between doing sea kayaking versus the kinds of kayaking I've done for years in Iowa, is exactly that. It's the amount of time. You typically are not going to go out sea kayaking for 30 minutes or an hour, like what I would do locally in Iowa. To give you an example, when I was doing sea kayaking in Channel Islands National Park in Southern California, I went out, this is a beginning trip, for about 6 hours at a time. So I was paddling for 6 hours, which is a lot, especially against ocean waves and currents. And then again, caving in the middle of caves and you know, we've got these really weird currents running in and out. So after 6 hours, I was worn out. It really did make me very tired. So yes, I think if you're going to be doing a lot of sea kayaking, you know, you've got to really, you know, be ready for that and the longer amounts of time that you're going to be there. And again, just fighting currents and fighting waves. It's very exciting. It's very fun. It adds a new element to kayaking, but it's a real workout. And then especially if you're carrying gear or equipment with you.
Sure. And you know, that might be why that guide tethered you all together. Some of them were tuckered out, and it's like, God, I can't lose some of these people. That's not good for business, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that, you know, I mean, group.
Even
if you have a 98% survival rating, that still don't look good on your website.
That's right. Little wayward kayakers go.
You
exactly.
Bet.
But
anyway.
Yeah, no, super fun. Yeah, great sport to get into, and something you can do, again, with relatively little money, because you don't need to buy all of this stuff. Join a tour from local outfitters or, you know, any of these different areas, and just go out for half a day and literally get your feet wet and
sure,
see how you like it and enjoy it.
And even with minimal, I mean, if you have minimal skills and limited physical abilities, these outfitters will set up a trek for you that will suit everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. They, frankly, a lot of them cater to raw beginners. In fact, when I went, because I am a beginner at this, there were family members with me. There were, you know, young kids that were, you know, in their teens or, you know, 8, 9 years old that were going with their parents and double kayaks. We had elderly people going, to all kinds of people, different ages, just out there enjoying a new experience. So, yes, they will put together the trip based on skill level.
You bet. Hey, thanks for sharing that information with us, Michelle. And looking forward to next month talking to you again.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it as well. And happy Labor Day weekend. And get out there, everybody, and enjoy. Thank you so much.
You bet. Until next week, thanks for listening.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.